Penguin Random House Audio presents Life Between Heaven and Earth, What You Didn't Know About the World Hereafter and How It Can Help You, by George Anderson and Andrew Barone. Read for you by Fred Sanders and a full cast: Mark Deakins, Kimberly Farr, Kathleen McInerney, Amanda Carlin, Cassandra Campbell, Rachel Fulginiti, Hilary Huber, Danny Campbell, and Georgina Marie. Prologue. The Doors of Heaven and Earth. Whoever coined the phrase, "There's nothing new under the sun," has never encountered the souls of the world hereafter. Neither has that person likely benefited in any tangible way from the extraordinary point of view only the souls can provide. Every day that the sun rises, the souls have their hands and their hearts in our world, helping to shape the circumstances of our lives and showing us new and unique ways to understand both our world and theirs. After almost 50 years as a medium and a lifetime of listening to the souls speak of the vagaries of heaven and earth, I am still learning that when it comes to the world hereafter, there will always be something new under the sun. This book is something a little different for us, and definitely something new in my communication with the world hereafter. It's the story of some of the more unique circumstances of living and dying on the earth, and how the souls are able to change our lives and experiences in a way that will bring about the best resolution of our life lessons, even in what may seem to be some rather impossible circumstances. This is a book about the souls at their most creative, their most ingenious, and their most caring, at the critical time we find ourselves struggling to find a method to the madness of our lives. These stories help us to understand that no matter what happens, here or in the hereafter, there will be a way to move us through the doors of heaven and earth so that we may realize, complete, and conquer our spiritual journey. This is the year I've decided to come to a certain peace about two undeniable facts of my existence on the earth. I am a man of advancing age, and in my advancing age, I have become my father. I catch myself saying, "In my day," and "You kids have no idea," as reflexive responses to something I'm unfamiliar with or to which I cannot relate, like computers and cell phones. I am now, without any reservation, a man who can safely be categorized as from another generation, and I found that fighting it is a fool's game. But with advancing age comes some wisdom. It took me a long time to understand why I inexplicably wake up at the crack of dawn and stare intensely at the rising sun, and why I stop in my tracks at the end of the day to watch the sun in its last brilliant minutes on our plane. At first I thought my stop, stand, and muse was a learned behavior. My father was famous in our family for doing exactly the same thing. But now that I am comfortably of a certain age, I'm starting to realize that there is perhaps meaning to these actions, and that there are secrets unknown to us until they are revealed by the universe, secrets that teach us a thing or two about our world. So this man from another generation has come to a rather amazing understanding of life that perhaps cannot be seen by this generation of young but restless eyes, or understood by the fresh but occupied mind. It is a message both simple and profound. We live the most when the light first illuminates our lives, and we learn the most in the moments of twilight as we cling to the last moments of fading light. Come heaven or earth, come life here or life hereafter, ours is a world lived entirely between two doors. From a very young age, I've been given an insight into the portals that exist between our world and the next, from the souls who reached out to me after a childhood illness nearly took my life. At the age of 6, after catching chickenpox, I quickly developed a nearly fatal case of encephalomyelitis, a swelling of the brain. Though I did recover, I lost the use of my legs for about 3 months and had to learn to crawl around the house when I wasn't remanded to my bed by my Irish Catholic mother, who believed to the day she passed that her unshakable, unwavering faith kept me from dying. But what she didn't expect that unwavering faith to subsequently do was have part of my damaged brain over-repair itself to the point that it became a kind of shortwave radio, allowing the souls to communicate to me. As I was learning to walk again, I started seeing images and hearing voices. Some came with a certain sense of familiarity about them, relatives. But mostly the voices and images belonged to people I did not know. The most frequent visitor who came to me was the figure of a woman I called Lilac Lady because of her lilac-colored robes, who I later came to understand was Saint Joan of Arc. As a young girl in the 13th century, Jeanne d'Arc, as she was known, received visions from the Archangel Michael and used her ability to communicate with the souls in order to help Charles VII in France win victory from English domination. But in spite of her divine journey, she was ultimately convicted of a variety of offenses by a French bishop who still maintained English loyalty. She was ordered to be burned at the stake at the age of 19. Joan, and I'm sure she'll forgive my informality as we've been friends for some 55 years, was, like me, the youngest child in her family, and also like me, began hearing voices and seeing figures at a very young age. As I got older, however, I found out, just as she did, what kind of liability seeing and hearing the souls could be for someone so young. Like Joan, I was persecuted by those around me, and also thought to be insane. But I know that even after she helped save me from fatal illness, she again stepped in and helped save my life. At about the same age that Joan met her death, I was being brought to the now-defunct Pilgrim State Hospital, a psychiatric facility on Long Island, where the doctors diagnosed me with schizophrenia. It was only by the kindness of one doctor and the encouragement and extraordinary influence of Joan that I wasn't left to rot in that facility. In many ways, I believe Joan chose me as an ally and has remained a constant presence in my life because we share the same ideal, that communication with the souls is not a gift, but an ability we were given, a life commitment, and a responsibility to the world of light that we must use to the best of our ability to help bring peace and understanding to the world. I understand that my life's work as a medium is a tool I must use to bring messages of comfort, hope, and peace to people on this plane who struggle to understand, who need to learn, and who need to find hope. I have been able to grow and move from period to period in my life, from natural curiosity about my ability to abject hostility toward it due to fear, then to understanding my vocation in life as a communicator for the souls, and finally to these years of coming to clearer understanding about the souls and their messages. And the souls use me as an instrument to communicate their incredible messages for a very good reason. They want to inspire each of us in enough ways that we can then go on, enriched by their knowledge, and inspire the world. As the years go on, I find that the souls are revealing more information about the complex issues we face in our world, and some of the more delicate circumstances they face in theirs. I'm hearing more often in sessions that, contrary to what we may think, there really are no absolutes in life here or hereafter. Things change, people change, circumstances change, and even the souls change with their own spiritual growth, our prayers, and communication to and from the earth. As they've trusted me more, they've told me more, and as I've grown, so have the insights the souls can provide. They've come to acknowledge that life sometimes beats the starch out of the most tenuous of our beliefs, and that our existence is not always so much black and white as it is a series of different degrees of light. This is where the souls have been living lately, in my perspective and in my own growth as a medium. They seem now, more than at any other time in my life, to want to tell us more about their extraordinary world so that we can better understand our own. We live and die sometimes under the most preposterous of circumstances. we can't always expect things to be packaged up as neatly as...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?